2. 1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad bags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes 1. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
The profession of violence. The rise and fall of the Cray Twins. By John Pearson. In 1929, a doctor called Lang from the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Munich created a stir among psychologists and criminologists by reviving the unfashionable theory of biological inheritance as a factor in the making of a criminal. By studying the records of the Bavarian Ministry of Justice, Lang discovered 30 convicted criminals with twin brothers or sisters. Of these pairs, 13 were identical twins, 17 non-identical. In only 2 cases did a non-identical twin of a criminal have a criminal record. Among the identical twins, 10 out of 13 did. Almost invariably, Lang found that the brother of a convicted identical twin showed signs of a similar criminal tendency himself. Lang concluded in his book, Crime as Destiny, that these identical twins acted as they did not primarily because of their environment, but because of inner laws of heredity determining their tendency to crime. 5 years after Lang's book appeared in Leipzig, Charles Cray, a 26-year-old second-hand clothes dealer from Hoxton, was preparing to leave on a buying trip to the West Country. Most of the Cockney dealers liked to stick to the home counties, but he hoped to have Dorset and Somerset to himself. He had his wad of ready money, his old clothes bag, his gold scales, and was planning to catch the Monday morning express to Bristol with his partner, an Irishman named Sonny Kenny. Charles was small and dapper, and everything about him gleamed. His greased back hair, his sharp black shoes, and his quick smile. People in Hoxton said the Crays were gypsy folk, descended from horse dealers who had settled there in the poorest part of London. Charles had the mistrustful, dark eyes of a gypsy. He was deferential, always careful to keep out of trouble, and had a taste for money. He was no fighter, but a talker with an instinct for buying and selling. By 20, he was making a good living and generally considered one of the finest pesterers around. For the door-to-door dealer, pestering is the basis of success. Gold buying went with old clothes buying. Once I'd asked the lady of the house if she had any clothes to sell, I'd say, excuse me, madam, but I wondered if you'd any gold or silver you've no use for. I'll be passing back this way in half an hour and call to see if you've found anything. Be no trouble. It's a bloody lie, of course. But then you got to tell a few lies. When you came back, they'd usually find they got you something. In the mid-30s, silver was fetching 2 shillings and 6 pence per ounce. 18-carat gold, £7 an ounce. Oh, we sold to Abe Sucklock in Black Lion Yard, him being Yiddish. Most weeks I'll be making £20-30 from the gold alone. This was wealth in the East End, where family income averaged 17 shillings a week. At 24, the time had come to marry. With his looks and his money, he had the pick of the local girls, and chose a 17-year-old blonde with blue eyes called Violet Lee. They met in a dance hall in Mare Street, Hackney. After the marriage, they moved in with his parents over a shop in Steen Street, Hoxton. She was soon pregnant, and the doctors told her to expect twins. Instead, she gave birth to a single son, Charles David. She had been 18 then. Now, at 21, she was again expecting. Charles Cray was not a family man, but he decided to postpone his trip to Bristol. He went to King's Cross to explain things to Sonny Kenny. The old Irishman laughed. My love to Violet. I hope she had those twins this time. Then you'll have something to worry about. That night, 17th of October 1934, at 64 Steen Street, Hoxton, Violet Cray surprised the midwife by giving birth to two male children within an hour of one another. The first she called Reginald, the second Ronald. Charles remembered Kenny's warning. The last few years had been a struggle. She had been one of three good-looking sisters living on the corner of Valence Road in Bethnal Green. She was headstrong.